This is Jay. I'm a recently retired high school teacher and mentor from Oregon. Welcome to one of my favorite podcasts, School of Practice, on Edutopia Radio.
About 10% of the students in our classrooms sound like they're reading beautifully. But then when you try to ask them about what they've read, it turns out that they didn't understand anything or very little of what they've read.
That's Nina Parrish. And according to our research editor, that 10% figure is right on. Nina's a former K-12 special ed teacher and instructional coach who now works as a school counselor. Now here's the thing, great reading instruction isn't just about helping kids who struggle with reading comprehension. Nina says all students need to learn how to focus on new material while they read and really understand it.
Being able to comprehend what they read on their own is one of the determining factors of whether they're able to take in and learn new information. If they're not able to do that, they're going to struggle across the board as they get older.
I'm Kristen Leong, an editor at Edutopia, and I'm also a former middle school ELA teacher. Today, Nina and I will talk about pre-reading strategies that connect new vocab to prior knowledge and make sure it sticks. We'll also break down active strategies students can use while they're reading, tactics that will keep them focused and help them spot and clear up any confusion. Okay, there's a lot of really great stuff to cover, so let's get into it. Nina, before we talk through comprehension strategies that you recommend, I'd like to talk about two reading strategies that we know are very popular but may not actually be in students' best interest. I'm talking about reading logs and round robin or popcorn reading. We know from research that these don't actually improve reading comprehension. You have tried reading logs. What can you share about it?
A lot of times students were doing the reading log at home, and it was like pressure to have a certain amount of minutes that they had read. And so I found that a lot of students fabricated their reading log.
They get a different pen, like for the next date, like switch pens again. Right.
And it's kind of the opposite of what I actually wanted the feeling to be. It sucks the joy right out of whatever you're doing at that moment. And you're not using strategies. You're not tying it to anything meaningful. You're just like doing it because it has to be done in order to write it down. And that's not the experience that I wanted my students to have.
Right. And we asked our research editor about this, and he shared a study from 2012 that found that reading logs actually chip away at students' interest and pleasure in reading. Now, what about popcorn reading, aka round robin reading? This is where one kid reads out loud and then the next kid in the row picks up where that reader left off and so on. This strategy is also really popular, but Edutopia published a pretty authoritative article that suggests that it can stigmatize struggling readers, model disfluency, and weaken comprehension. But I'm curious, Nina, what have you seen?
The popcorn readings can be very anxiety producing. And what I found that students were doing was that instead of focusing, which is what I wanted them to do, on what we were reading, they were trying to read the paragraph that they thought that they might have to read next and practicing it. And they actually got nothing out of what we had read because they were so anxious.
I was definitely that student who was like counting the paragraphs so I knew when my turn was going to come up and then like reviewing my section.
Yes, I was terrified when I was in middle and high school to talk in front of my peers. And I remember that one time we were doing that popcorn reading strategy and I mispronounced a word and like it ruined my week, you know? So I don't want to do that to students.
You're still thinking about it.
I still remember. So embarrassing. For me, so I don't want to give that to my students ever.
Okay, so we talked about two things that don't work. Now let's dig in on some evidence-based strategies that do help boost students' reading comprehension. Let's start with pre-reading. In school, kids are always running into unfamiliar terms, figurative language in poems, for example, or scientific terminology. How do you address these vocab gaps with students?
I like to let students self-select their own vocabulary words because then I felt like they had more engagement with the outcome. So they would usually look up the word, but we wouldn't stop there. We would look at the context. They would compare that to a definition they found. I would have them use it in a sentence and find similar words and opposite words. And then they would draw a picture a lot of times that linked the sentence to their understanding of the word overall.
You know, Nina, our editor-in-chief, Steve Merrill, was a high school teacher, and he used to keep a log of crucial vocabulary and use it as a frequent review tool. He'd ask kids where they first saw the term, how the term might be related to the current topic. What do you think about that approach?
I think that's great. When I was teaching, I always had a similar thing in my classroom. I would have a word wall as we would read or as we would listen to things throughout the year. Sometimes students would just come in like with a word that they wanted to know the meaning of, and we would add it to the word wall.
Now, Nina, another pre-reading strategy is connecting new learning to prior knowledge. We hear from educators who say that it's helpful to do a brain dump where students write down everything they know about a topic before reading begins. Have you had success with this approach?
I would do either a picture or word web or brainstorm, everything that related to that concept, and we would write it all down. Sometimes I would have students think by themselves and then think in pairs, and we would share as a class so that we could get a lot of information. And then as we read about that topic, we can continue to add ideas in and refine what we have there, because I think sometimes we start with a certain level of prior knowledge and then what we've read builds on that knowledge. So it's important to make those connections as we're reading.
Okay, so logging and discussing key vocab words or making a word wall can help students understand new language that they're about to encounter. And brain dumps and word or even picture webs that dredge up all the prior knowledge can help kids make connections with new materials. Are there other strategies that you've used that help kids access and connect background knowledge before they start reading?
So I really like to find a children's book on that same topic and read the children's book to the students before they read it in a more complex way, because understanding the topic has such a huge impact on their comprehension of what they've read. If I couldn't find a children's book, sometimes I would find a video clip that provides an explanation, and it's a quick way to make students familiar with the topic. Or I would bring in pictures or objects that went along with that topic and pass them around and discuss them and give students an opportunity to take a look at them and hold them.
Okay, I love all this. When I was a middle school teacher, I loved using children's books in my classroom. I didn't call it an info hook when I was teaching, but that's exactly what this is. It's an info hook. So we're finding interesting artifacts like videos, images, kids' books to nudge kids back towards what they already know.
That's exactly right. And another thing I like to do is do sort of a quick diagnostic test, 3 questions or so, and like no pressure, like it doesn't matter if you know the right or wrong answer. They're obviously not being graded. It's just to see whether the student has any idea about this topic that we are going to read about today. And then we would talk about it as a whole group. So it serves several purposes. The questions, I think, direct their focus. So they know by me asking them those 3 questions that those are focus points of what we're going to read. And then also they can kind of build on their collective knowledge, and we can fill in the gaps as I figure out how familiar they are with a particular topic.
After the break, Nina will walk us through the strategies that help students while they're reading to make sure that that little voice in their head keeps asking, "Did I really understand that?" Okay, we'll be right back. Hey everyone, we're already halfway through this episode, but you can keep the conversation going with Nina even after the episode ends by visiting Edutopia's community forum, Ask and Answer.
I'll be posting a question to get the conversation started, and I'd love to hear your questions, reactions, and the reading comprehension strategies that work for you.
If you haven't explored Ask and Answer yet, it's our online forum for educators to connect, swap ideas, and get support. Find it on our Edutopia homepage. We'll include a link in our show notes.
And I'll see you there soon.
Nina, Nina, we've talked about strategies to use before you start reading, like a word wall for vocab or giving kids an ungraded quiz on the upcoming topic to spur conversation and get them curious about new material. Now, let's shift and focus on tools kids can use while they read to make sure that they're processing the material deeply enough to comprehend it. This is where active reading strategies come in, right?
Yeah, sometimes students are confused because they didn't stay focused while they were reading, or because a lot of times what I found with my students is they tried to read too much before they used any strategy.
Okay, let's talk about the active reading strategies that can prevent that kind of confusion. I'm curious, how do you get kids to slow down and visualize what they're reading?
I was a special education teacher in middle school, and something I liked to use was called a storyboard. So I would have them start out by listening to text and drawing what they heard was happening in the text. Eventually, we would add like a one sentence written summary under each part of the board. That helps with visualizing what you're reading, but then it links together those visualizations with a written summary.
Yes, I love this. I am all about a visual assist with our reading. You know, when I was a teacher, I used to do a similar thing with my middle school students as well. Like maybe I'd be reading and I'd have kids draw, or I'd assign a short snippet of text for the kids to illustrate. Those kinds of structures really help to keep kids from getting too far ahead of themselves. Now, asking questions about the material while you're reading is part of so many reading comprehension strategies. Why is it important for students to be independently generating and jotting down questions while they read? And are there any question-based strategies that you recommend?
Because if we're thinking of questions while we're reading, we are staying active and we can use that as a strategy to keep ourselves engaged. So I never suggest forcing students to use one particular strategy. I always let them choose. But what they can do is, for example, if they've learned that annotation works well for them, they can annotate on post-it notes while they're reading. Sometimes I would give them a certain amount of post-it notes when they were first learning the strategy. So I would give them two questions and I would give them two light bulbs, and the questions were for writing their questions that they had, and the light bulbs were for ideas that they had as they read.
Right. So question marks for things you aren't sure about, light bulbs for insights.
Yes. And it was just a way to kind of remind them that these are the things that I'm supposed to be doing while I'm reading. I'm sort of stopping to make that connection, or I'm stopping to ask that question. And it's a visual reminder to do that.
Now, Nina, as active readers, they've generated these questions and insights. Most research says that self-testing is the next step to confirm that a student really understands the material. How do you tackle this?
As a part of annotation or just while they're reading, I'll have students write their own questions down. And sometimes you can take those questions and you can kind of make a bank of the questions that students have generated. And you can use those for students to be able to quiz themselves on that material.
And for nonfiction texts specifically, if kids don't know the answer, do you instruct them to research it?
A lot of times they'll ask questions that I don't know the answer to, and I'll look it up just as sort of like a modeling, you know, I don't know all the answers here. But if they come up with the question, I'll have them look it up and find the answer for us. And I think it's good for them to see that we are always having questions and finding that we don't know everything and there's something interesting to learn.
I love that, Nina. So we've talked about how to help kids visualize what they're reading and ask questions as they're navigating a text, and how you can use those questions for self-testing or even research extensions. There is one more strategy I want to cover before we wrap up: reciprocal teaching. And it sort of brings together a bunch of the strategies we've already discussed into one group activity. Now, first of all, you put students into groups of four, and each student is given a role: questioner, summarizer, clarifier, and predictor. And these really map to the foundational thinking skills students need for comprehension, right?
That's exactly right.
So let's talk about how you get started with all of this. It sounds like the teacher divides a text into parts, and then students read the first part silently, and then maybe underline key points as they go, and then the summarizer offers a summary of the key points. How am I doing so far?
You got it. That's right. Usually when I have students start with this strategy, I give them a certain benchmark for how often they should be stopping. So read a paragraph, make a prediction, ask a question. What needs to be clarified at that point? What can you summarize so far?
And how are you making sure that students know that this is literally how they should be reading? Do you talk to them about metacognition at all?
I like to, you know, just tell students things explicitly. So I would usually just tell them when we introduce reciprocal teaching, these are the four strategies that really great readers use. And so we're going to practice over and over again using these strategies. And it does help to create a voice in your head while you're reading that's asking questions and summarizing and clarifying as we're reading and making predictions. So we have to kind of coach ourselves, you know? Our metacognition is like our inner coach or our inner teacher.
Nina, I have one last question for you, and I warn you, it's a bit of a doozy. In 2025, a study from SRI looked at reading instruction in four big school districts, and the researchers found that two-thirds of class time is spent looking at surface-level analysis of texts. I'm curious, do you think that we spend enough time teaching deeper comprehension strategies?
I think that we don't, but I don't think that it's intentional. I think that we feel a lot of time pressure as teachers. And a lot of times we're working towards standardized testing where students read a passage and answer questions. What I see in schools is that when we're trying to remediate students who may not be passing those tests, we put them into these classes where we basically practice with them reading a passage and answer questions. And then that doesn't result in the improvement that we want to see, because it's a surface level task. And what they're actually missing is the underlying skills of how to become a reader that understands what they read. And so I think that what we need to focus on as teachers is making sure that the students are actually engaged in constructing that meaning on their own.
Here are three things I'm taking away from this conversation. One, popcorn reading and reading logs should be retired. They're popular, but they don't work. Two, there are a lot of fun pre-reading strategies, from communal word walls to reading children's books to gamified pre-quizzes. And three, and this one is essential, developing that little voice that alerts us when we're confused or tells us to reread a challenging passage, that's really important. And it's a skill that needs to be explicitly taught. A really good way to put it all together for students and to show them that they're not alone when they're confused is to model that voice through read alouds. Teachers can read a paragraph, ask themselves a question out loud, summarize what they think they just read or ponder, and make a prediction about what's going to happen next. So say goodbye to popcorn reading and hello to metacognition. Special thanks to Nina Parrish. She's a former middle school special ed teacher and currently a middle school counselor. For more strategies and details, check out Nina's Edutopia article about reading comprehension. We'll drop a link to it in our episode notes, as always. We love hearing from you. Send us your stories, ideas, and questions, and let us know what you'd like us to cover in future episodes. Our email is podcasts@edutopia.org. If you liked this episode, follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave us a rating and a review. That helps others find our show. This episode was produced by Ann Noisani and edited by me. Our engineer is Doug Keeley, and our supervising editors are Sarah Gonser and Steve Merrill. Special thanks to Yuki Terada. I'm Kristen Leong. We'll see you again soon.